The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
But I believe after the message, it will make more sense. Sometimes things don't start happening until you let go and let God. We love to say that God will make a way out of no way. But I believe that every now and then, God will make a way when we get out the way. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I think we try to stay in God's business too long and too often. We want to help God. Matter of fact, we want to get ahead of God and just ask God to bless us along the way. And that's not the way God works. But you're going to have to stop worrying. Matter of fact, you can't worry and worship at the same time. Y'all don't hear me in here. Listen, I know it's snowing outside, but we're here now. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm not worried about that. Amen. I'm not worried about whether or not I'm going to get home. The Lord helped me to get here safe. He's going to get me home safe. Come on, y'all give God some praise in this house. Amen. Amen. We're not here because we're such great drivers and because we don't want to just so determined to get here in the snow. We're here by the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. 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 And so I thank God. I thank God. Again, that I may even impose on them to bring that back at altar call, because that's going to be important. It's going to be important once the word of God sets forth in your heart. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to thank you for this day. We come to thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. We come to thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We recognize that we are here because you've been better to us than we deserve. You've been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. Matter of fact, we're here in spite of ourselves. And so for that, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy, because grace is that unmerited favor. But if the devil had his way, it's mercy, Lord, that we put our lives on your hands, because you are a merciful God, a merciful judge. Lord, bless everyone who was here up under the sound of my voice, whatever it is that we all stand in need of. We ask that you would search our hearts and our minds right now. As a matter of fact, Lord, we ask that you would remove doubt, that you would remove any fear. Our fear should be of you. We reverence you right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, and speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, hide me, hide us all, that you would be seen, and silence us all. Silence not just our audible voices, but silence those other voices that are not yours. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. You can go ahead and let them in. Amen. Thank you. John chapter 11 is from whence the word of God will come. John chapter 11 is from whence the word of God will come. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would do so. I'm only going to read two verses, but John chapter 11 is from whence the word will come. I'm only going to read two verses. I'm going to read verses 43 and verse 44. Verse 43 and verse 44 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" On this first Sunday of March 2019, On this, another day where the Lord has made, that we are to rejoice and to be glad in it. And as we continue on our theme of 365 days of possibilities, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, playing a role in life that you didn't want to play. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Playing a role in life that you didn't want to play. So let me open up by asking the question, when was the last time you found yourself playing a role in life that you didn't want to play? This speaks to someone who perhaps you never imagined you'd be the parent of an addicted teen son or daughter. Maybe a pregnant teen daughter or a soon-to-be father teen son. For someone else, you never imagined that you'd be a divorced man or a divorced woman, a single-parent mother or a single-parent father. Perhaps you never imagined that you'd be a widow or a widower. For someone else, you never imagined that you'd be a cancer patient or a cancer survivor, or maybe caring for a loved one who is a cancer patient or someone who is terminally ill. For someone else, perhaps you never imagined that you would be the victim of abuse, the target of violence, the recipient of slander, or maybe among the ranks of the unemployed. For someone else, perhaps you never imagined that you'd be caught up or trapped in an addiction or trying to care for someone who is. I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the picture of what I mean when I ask you the question, when was the last time that you found yourself playing a role in life that you didn't want to play? I'm talking to somebody. Of course, whenever we hear this text, there's always the focus on verses 43 and 44, and they are a good focus. But I wonder, my brothers and my sisters, if Lazarus, think about Lazarus. I wonder if Lazarus ever felt the same when he was ill and not getting any better, playing a role in life that he didn't want to play. Hear me today, because his life wasn't supposed to go this way. He was Jesus' friend, after all. Christ could heal him, and if he would only come to help, Lazarus would be able to get up off of his bed of affliction and be the man that he once was. But Jesus didn't come. Matter of fact, Brown, Lazarus died. Now, of course, we know from the scripture that Jesus raised his friend from the dead. But Miller, I got to thinking about this. And in the middle of this messy trial, you got to understand that Lazarus didn't know that this was going to happen. Mm-mm. All Lazarus knew, Sister Cargill, was that he was sick and he wanted to be healed. Have you been there? Come on, somebody. Have you been there? I'm talking to somebody who's there right now. Lord, I'm sick. And I'm calling on you to heal me. Lord, I need you to heal my body. Lord, I need you to heal my finances. Lord, I need you to heal my marriage or my relationship. Lord, I need you to heal my child, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my spouse, my friend. Lord, I need you to heal my ministry, my business, my goals, my dreams. Lord, I'm sick. And I'm calling on you to heal me. Yes, We know from Scripture that Jesus raised his friend from the dead. But again, in the middle of this, Lazarus didn't know that that was going to happen. Can I tell you something else? See, all Lazarus knew was that he was sick and that he wanted to be healed. That's it. But there's something else that Lazarus didn't know as well. Lazarus didn't know that Christ was using him in a story that he, talking about Christ himself, was writing to glorify himself so that others would be drawn to him. See, that's a little bit about Sunday school. See, we got to make sure that our conduct is drawing folk to Christ. Got to make sure our behavior is drawing folk to Christ. Amen. But you see, Lazarus didn't know that he was a part of his story. Amen. In our text in John chapter 11, I hope you didn't close your Bibles. Look at verses 14 and 15. The Bible says that Jesus told the disciples plainly. He said, Lazarus is dead. Come on, somebody. He said, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there with Lazarus before he died, in essence. He says, for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. He says, so that you may believe. Wait a minute. Lazarus is sick, but Jesus is talking to his disciples. Some of you all are sick, and God is talking to somebody else about you. He said to the disciples, he said, Lazarus is dead. Plainly, just that's it. And for your sake, he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. What? Come on now. What? He said, so that you may believe. Listen to me. I'm talking to somebody here. When you find yourself playing a role that you'd rather not play, could it be possible? I don't know. My mind is not God's mind. His thoughts are way above mine. But could it be possible that just like God did in the life of Lazarus, that he wants to use you for his glory? Could it be that what you are going through, wait a minute, think about this. Could it be that what you are going through could be a gift for somebody else? Good God Almighty, Jesus. With this in mind, when you go through a trial, how would you respond, or how have you been responding? Will you dare to trust God and desire his glory? Or will you be more concerned about your own comfort level? Now, before you answer the question too quickly, there are some key reminders. I'm a realist. Listen, I've said it to you before and I say it again. I preached many a sermon that I have not reached. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Amen. Doesn't mean that God can't give it to me. But I preached many a sermon that I have not, I've taught many a lesson that I have not reached. Amen. And so when we're looking at this, there are some key reminders and some instructions from this story here in John 11 that you and I need to remember in a time of crisis. Some things that can help us get through some tough times. Now, the story is quite long. So I'm hoping that you are familiar enough with the scripture, with the story, without me having to recount it in a great detail. Because the desire this morning is minimally just to draw from the Word of God. Amen. To draw from the Word of God to get the points that God has asked me to share. But I do want to encourage you to maybe reread it again, to reread it for yourself, maybe at a later time, when you're reflecting on the message. When you find yourself playing a role in life that you didn't want to play, first thing we need to pick up from the scripture here is, number one is, prayer must be a priority. Prayer must be a priority. Where are you getting that from, Pastor King? Well, it's in verse 3 of the text. Watch the text. Watch the text. It's not going to be on your screen. Watch the text. Verse 3, it says in the Amplified Version, it says, so the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, he, our brother and your friend, whom you love, is sick. Miller, Deacon Fitzgerald, Deacon Griffith, Sister Macon, my brothers, my sisters in Christ. The first thing that these sisters, Mary and Martha, did was they sent word to Jesus. Amen. They sent word to Jesus. Listen, when the storms of life come, or when the storms of life are raging, when the one you love is sick, when a crisis hits your life, death, accident, a bad diagnosis, a relationship breakdown, financial breakdown, emotional despair, whatever it is, the first thing you need to do is send word to Jesus. Yeah. When a crisis brings us to our knees, and when something comes and literally knocks the wind out of us, or literally cuts our legs right from under us, guess what, Brother Greg? We are in the proper position to pray. Amen. When life knocks you on your knees, guess what? You're in position to pray. Life knocks the legs off of one of you and you find yourself on your back or maybe on your stomach prostrate, guess what? You're in position to pray. I'm talking to somebody. Prayer changes things. It does. It changes people. But every now and then, prayer changes things, because I need you to know God doesn't need us. Amen. When we communicate with the center of the universe or the creator of the universe, things happen. We have the ability to call on the greatest power in the world. God gives us this privilege and this gift and right. But here's the problem. Too many of us, we lack the faith that prayer is going to make a difference. The reason I can say that without trying to be offensive or too harsh to anyone is because often we don't pray until after we've tried everything and everybody else. Instead of prayer being a last resort, it's supposed to be our first option, Bill. Do me a favor and encourage somebody. You might have to reach over about three pews. Y'all can't hear me in here. But do me a favor and tell your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, you can't do any more or any less than pray. That's right. Amen. You can't do any more or any less than pray. Keep in mind, watch the text. Keep in mind, these sisters could send a word to Jesus because they knew Jesus. That's going to hit somebody, somebody. They sent a word to Jesus because they knew Jesus. Had they not known Jesus, they would have had been in an awful position with nowhere to turn. Amen. Had they not known who he was, they would have been in an awful position. Amen, amen, amen. You see, there's a lot of people who don't know who Jesus is. And they don't know where to turn. But you know who Jesus is. So every now and then, there's just some folk who watching you, because the only God they're going to know is the God in you. Amen. Plenty of folk going through many of the same types of things. And sometimes their best source of encouragement is watching you. If you are without Jesus, however, and you need to encourage somebody, if you're without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not been immersed in him and become a child of God, then it's plain and simple. You won't know where to go. You can't keep looking to the government to save you. Amen. 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 You will literally be in a world of hurt. But you can change that by giving Jesus your life. Give Christ your life and receive him as your Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. When you find yourself playing a role in life that you didn't want to play, number one, prayer must be a priority. But here's another one. Number two, you need to remember that emotion is natural. I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to help somebody. Prayer is a priority, but emotion is natural. Watch the text. Drop down to verse 35 and 36 in your text. Again, in the Amplified Version of the Bible, it says, Jesus wept. And in verse 36, it says, so the Jews were saying, see how he loved him as a close friend. Listen, one of the worst temptations, especially during a crisis for many of us from the pulpit to the door, is to try to appear strong. Amen. There's some days that's not a good day. There's some days it's just not going well. Amen. And we got to quit trying to always act strong for other folk who can't help you in order to impress other folk. Because God is looking at us and saying, I'm not impressed. But we also need to realize that emotion is natural. Listen, when we are weak, guess what? He is strong. Amen. Amen. We live in a culture that says crying is weak and soft. But nothing could be further from the truth. Your Bible, my Bible says Jesus wept. And Jesus was all man. Y'all didn't hear me in here. I said he was all 100% man. Amen. And the Bible says Jesus wept. So here's the teaching, however. You got to ask yourself, Sister Stephanie, why did Jesus weep? Well, the Bible says that the Jews said that he wept because Lazarus is his friend. And he is. But you got to go deeper than that. Why did Jesus weep? Because think about it. He knew. Why did he mourn Lazarus? Because he knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. It almost doesn't make any sense. And so the Holy Spirit had to send me back. He had to send me back. And he said, King, one reason might be because he saw the pain in Mary and Martha. What does that mean to us? It means that people that he loved hurt. God Almighty, Jesus. People he loved hurt. Lazarus is dead. Just like folk wailing at a funeral. They dead. They gone. But he wept because he saw people he loved hurting. So guess what? His heart hurt for them. God has made us emotional people. So when a crisis hits, we need to let it out. Amen. That's not healthy for you not to, even they call it the stages of grief. That's not healthy for you to bottle in. You're going to cause yourself to have an aneurysm. Your pressure's going to go way up unnecessarily. Let that stuff out. Amen. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to cry. It's not healthy to bottle up and pretend that this stuff doesn't exist. Watch the text. Verse 21 says this. Watch the text. Because in verse 21, Martha's talking. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Drop down to verse 32. Now Mary's talking. Mary came to the place where Jesus was and she saw him. She fell at his feet and she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I stand here today on March the 3rd, 2019 to let somebody know that it is okay to tell God, God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I'm talking to somebody. It's okay for you to say, Lord, I don't understand what you are trying to do in my life. Jesus. That's going to free somebody right there. Listen. God gave us tear ducts for a reason. There are happy tears. There are sad tears. And there may even be some tears of frustration. But when you got a crisis and you want to cry, first of all, take it to the Lord. And recognize that emotions are natural. It's okay to allow your emotions to show through. When you find yourself playing a role in life, somebody right now, that you didn't want to play. Number one, prayer must be a priority. Number two, you need to know that emotion is natural. But here's the third point from the text. Perseverance pays off. Perseverance pays off. Let me ask you a question. Do you think, it's a rhetorical question, but it's just the way I think about the text sometimes. Do you think Jesus stayed where he was two more days because he didn't care about Lazarus? I mean, the word says he loved him. So do you think he stayed two more days because he didn't care about Lazarus? Well, the answer to the question, yeah, is no, because we know the story. But what does the Holy Spirit want us to know? The Holy Spirit wants us to know that he stayed where he was because he knew that God was in control of the situation. That's the Holy Spirit, see? See, it's easy to say no. No, he didn't, because he loved. See, we read the Bible as Bible stories. God wants life application. So why did he stay? He stayed because he knew that God was in control of the situation. We get nervous. God doesn't. We don't serve a herky-jerky God, and we don't serve a God that's getting an eraser on the end of his pencil. Not only did he know that God was in control, watch this, he knew that at the right time, God would take care of the crisis with Lazarus. What is that saying to us? It says that when a crisis invades our lives, we don't want to wait it out. We don't want to wait it out. We want it to end. I mean, let's just be honest, from the pulpit to the door, we want it to end as soon as possible. Too often, for too many of us, even as Christians, when a crisis comes, we look for the quick way out. We want the easy way out. We want out of the trial. We want out of the crisis just as soon as possible. And not only that, we want out with the least amount of pain. Watch the word of God in Romans. This time I am going to show it to you because it's too many verses. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. You can read it later, but Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says, and not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, trouble produces patient endurance, and endurance, proven character, spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Listen, this may not be what you want to hear, but I got to tell you this. Sometimes the only way out of a storm is to ride it out. Sometimes the only way out of a storm is to ride it out. So if you hanging on, hang in there. I need you to hang on in there and you hold on tight. Sometimes the only way out of a crisis is through perseverance and endurance. And you do what? You stand on the promises of God. Do like I do sometimes. Lord, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. And you stand on it. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but you stand on it. Think about this for a second, Brother Moore. One day, Lazarus was alive. The next day, he was dead. But just 4 days later, he was alive again. So do me a favor. This time, reach over another section of pews. Do me a favor. Encourage somebody next to you and tell them, neighbor, a lot can happen in a week. Neighbor, a lot can happen in 3 days. Just take it to Jesus. There you go. A lot can happen. See, when you give up, that's why it's always too soon. Because you never know what God is doing and what God is up to. And it might not happen in your day. Listen, a day to God is what? 1,000 years. Oh, my God, 1,000 years. Uh-oh, let me help you. Lazarus was dead one day, alive one day, dead the next, but 4 days later, he was alive again. That's why from Sunday to Sunday, there's a whole lot of life that's happening. That's why we got to be careful. I don't have time. I don't mean no harm. I don't have time to come to church to play church. I had too much going on in my week. Had too much happening. And I don't know what my next week is gonna have, so I need to be refueled. I'm trying to do the best that I can to connect with God. And sometimes your busy work day, your busy school day, your busy administration day, your busy just doing everything else day. Sometimes it takes just this time for you to connect with the Most High God. As I get ready to close, when you find yourself playing a role in life that you'd rather not play, I asked earlier, could it be possible that just like God did in the life of Lazarus, that he wants to use you for his glory? Could it be that what you are going through could be a gift to others? I then asked, with this in mind, when you go through a trial, how will you respond? Will you dare to trust God and desire his glory? Or will you be more concerned about your own comfort? You can play some. I then told you to hold off on the answer to yourself. But now I'm going to release you. I want you to answer that question to yourself. When you take some time, whether today or this week, to reflect on this story, here's something that the Holy Spirit gave me to give to you. I want you to think about this. When you take some time to reflect on this story, remember that God did not cause Lazarus to die. God did not cause Lazarus to die. But he used Lazarus's death for his glory. And guess what? It changed lives. It changed the lives of Mary and Martha, and it changed the lives of so many others who were there to witness. So how does that help you, and how does that help me? Because we're still sick, and we still want healing. We still want help. We still want answers to questions. Lord, I need you to save me. Well, it helps us with the temptation to blame God. We got to recognize that God didn't cause Lazarus to die, but he used the crisis for his glory, and it changed so many lives. So how does it help us? It helped us because, I don't know about you, but too many of us attempted to blame God for our crisis, for our situation, for our circumstance. It also helps us to realize that God does not bring disaster into our lives, but he can and he will allow it. It also helps us to realize that he loves us. And guess what? God can take our defeats and turn them not just into your victories, but into his. It also gives us hope that God is able to cure any disease. God is able to fix any marriage, any relationship. God is able to mend any broken heart. God is able to forgive any sin. And there is no crisis that is too big for our God. I want to leave something with you, and I want you to think about this. Think about what happens when God is glorified. We love to say, Lord, you get the glory out of my life. Well, what does that mean? What happens when God is glorified? Well, here's something. Think about this. I didn't put it up, but you're going to have to think about it. When God is glorified, emotions are healed. Fears go away. Relationships are restored. Hope flourishes. Peace reigns. Joy rules, love grows, and faith can flourish in the lives of people and people's hearts. That's what happens when God is glorified. Amen. That then becomes more than just a statement. That becomes real life application. So could it be? I don't know. That your trial could be the very reason that someone comes to Christ and experiences God's love in a greater way? Will you allow the Most High God to use you according to his will and his desires? Will you let the light of Christ shine through you even as you go through your crisis? And will you surrender to how God wants to use you, all of us, in his story? In verse 40 of your text, Jesus responds to Martha, but he speaks loud enough for all of us to hear. Not only the people who are there, but I believe he speaks loud enough down through the annals of time for us to hear the word as well. He says in verse 40, he says, did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? That is the expression of his excellence. When you find yourself playing a life, rolling a life that you didn't want to play, number one, make sure that prayer is a priority. Number two, remember that emotion is natural. And number three, you need to know that perseverance pays off. So I gave you those nuggets, but what's the life application? Here's a life application. Talk to the Lord about the trial that you're experiencing. Tell him that you trust him and that you want to glorify him and that you will cooperate with his plan. That's what I mean when I say, to God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.